All right, Monday's show, Sports Cards Nonsense. This will be a very official show. We have the boss here with us. Excited about that. Jesse has already made a promise off air to be less awkward. Jesse, care to address that on air?
I do not. Thank you very much, Mike. That was
Jesse's
good.
Also wearing a shirt and tie today, I noticed. You won't dress up when I've asked you to, but Bill shows up and all of a sudden.
I would like to refer to Bill as Russell throughout this. Bill, are you okay with that?
You do whatever you want, Jesse.
Okay, well, we got called out on much. Twitter, Bill. He said, hey, is your boss okay with you making these Richard Simmons remarks? That seems disrespectful. I said, at this point, I don't know if there's any coming back from that. So,
listen, I hold grudges and it's all been filed away. That's just so you guys know.
Hey, I told you, 6 months was our goal. We got 20 days to go. So we're feeling good about life. All right. Here's the reason Bill is on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over 2 decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I got a text. Well, I started the text. Let's not make it seem like Bill's just texting me. after me texting, he said, finally agreed to come back on the show. And here was the claim. I am coming in with one of the hottest takes in sports cards nonsense history. Your words, sir.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel as good about it anymore. I felt so good about it on Thursday. And now I'm more nervous about it. Well, playoffs are coming. You've covered this ad nauseum on your pod. This is when the card market becomes just completely volatile and ridiculous. And tell them about what happened with Tyler Herro last year. Like, just let's walk through that, because
odds are
he will never be an above average starter. He's had a really rough sophomore year.
Brutal.
I think
issue.
Everybody who, if you think of having stock and players through cards, basically, you've just gotten annihilated. But where did it peak last year in the playoffs? I forget.
I mean, his values were up. His prism values 4 to 5 times what they were at any point during the season, especially during the Celtics series when he was lighting up the seas in the Eastern Conference Finals. If he could play the Celtics 36 of the 72 games this year, he'd be averaging 48 points. Even yesterday, he just casually was just lighting them up in the first half. But yeah, like you said, it's like the stock market. Things get hot around playoff season. His stuff went based on from where it was at its high, I would say things are down 60 to 70%. The market is down too, but his stuff in particular has just taken a brutal beating. Overall point being, we're going to see some major things jump. Luka hits a game winner last year versus the Clippers. Stuff jumps up 20% in a matter of minutes. It's going to happen this year at some point too along the playoffs. And that's why we're all excited for this take.
Whew. Well, and the Herro thing, that almost single-handedly convinced me to get back into basketball cards, because I couldn't believe how the vintage compared to the new guys, how out of whack it was. When you had, like, you know, somebody like Herro was, did he get to like 1,000 at one point? Jesse, look that up. What was like his peak? I feel like he was 4 figures there for like a brief snippet. And
his silvers. I bet a silver PSA 10 was there.
And the Talen Horton Tucker, remember that preseason?
God.
So anyway, the vintage was way out of whack, and now the vintage is caught up and the entire market's slumping a little bit. But in general, I feel like the vintage has at least caught up now with the fly-by-night guys.
So Tyler Herro, his PSA 10s, he got to the highest point for his base PSA 10 was about $450.
Oh, his silvers were over a grand then.
Yeah.
But that was his base. Yeah, but now it's down to $88 for a PSA 10.
It's a 75% loss. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, it's a weird time of year. I'm going to talk about Tyler Herro and Straight Cash Homie because I'm actually excited about that dude just because of what I saw yesterday. This is hot take by Bill, overreaction by Mike, awkwardness by Jesse.
Hooray!
So I'll give you the hot take. So, and again, it's not as scorching hot. Before it was like...
Wait, Bill, before you do it, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can we just go ahead and do Big Picture Bills playoff breakdown.
Great. Thank Rating. You, Jesse.
All right, do the sound. Okay. Now, Bill.
Bill just checked out. Bill
go,
just
Bill.
Checked out.
Yeah, hold on. I'm looking for a door. So here is, there's three teams that I think we should be looking at here for the out-of-whack, crazy, bandwagon, snowball down the hill jump.
Okay.
And two of them are Russell and I talked about last night, and unfortunately, the cards are already pretty highly priced, but I think Dallas and Miami are the two to watch for outside the top three teams that could just upset somebody in round one, get some momentum. Dallas has been playing really well. I think they're like 31-15, their last 46.
Which, like top five or six in the league, right?
Yep. And Luka's, you know, going to be first team All-NBA again, but it looks like it's heading toward Denver-Dallas in round one. And if that happens, that's bad for Denver.
Oh, really? I go the other way.
It is.
That, but okay. All right.
No, I think that's the one team Dallas matches up with really well for a variety of reasons. And if Dallas beats Denver in round one, Jokic will be fine because he's going to win the MVP for his cards. But the Luka thing, we could see another bump. The Luka market has been kind of quiet, right?
Yes. Quiet and trending down. I mean, he peaked at $2,000. He was steady through, you know, 16 to 1800 in the offseason, even up till about February in the season. Then when everything has dipped, I mean, right now, just to use that as a baseline, PSA 10 Prism, 11-ish, probably $1,100. So,
which is too low.
I'd like to make the point that Luka has not dropped as significantly as a number of other guys. Just because I recently was doing some research, his PSA 10s are still $1,100. Not the worst compared to like Giannis or Kevin Durant or something like that.
Giannis.
Continue.
Yeah. Not Giannis today.
No. It's Giannis. And if anyone says, Bill, don't make me feel like an idiot, Bill. God. Continue, guys. Go. You're doing great. Didn't mean to interrupt.
I think Giannis Soprano's card is the best it's been. So with the Luka thing, I just think too many, you've made this point, Mike, too many people got the normal prisms graded.
Yep.
There's a pretty big market for them, even though PSA shut down. But, you know, like I got a Jokic, I got a green, I think it was a green prism, which was a way lower count. I got that in like October. Yeah. And it was pricey. It was probably like 1700, something like that.
Sure.
But I just felt like he was going to have a big year. I thought he was a possible MVP candidate. And now that's like tripled. To me, the move with Luka, if you have the bank, is instead of just going base, I think you have to go one step up and go for the color cards. But my point is, like, if they beat Denver, the Luka card mania thing is going to happen. That's going to be a thing.
Absolutely.
So that's one. So Miami would be the other one in the East. And I think people, especially yesterday, if you watch, you notice they're going to be in the 3-6 thing potentially against Milwaukee.
Brutal for Milwaukee.
Right. Brutal for Milwaukee. There's a chance they could flip with Atlanta and go into that 4-5, which means they would play Philly in round two. Either way, Miami is the proverbial team nobody wants to play. I don't know what the Butler market is. I don't have a Butler rookie. They were talking, I was driving around yesterday listening to the Boston announcers talking about whether Butler could potentially be a Hall of Famer someday. And it's like, not crazy, because that was my reaction. I made a face. And
I would have thought off the cusp, like first ballot. I don't even think it's that much of a discussion, but maybe it is. I don't know.
So the motto would be Kyle Lowry, right? Like a little bit of a late bloomer, but then somebody who is a really relevant guy. I think Kyle Lowry is probably, I would lean toward him being a Hall of Famer versus not being a Hall of Famer. But you look at Butler, I think he's going to be second team All-NBA this year. I think that they could upset somebody in round one, and it feels like there's not the kind of Butler push. What's his rookie card? It's like 2012 so or 13.
He's 2012. So you're kind of in that year too, where they took the half season or whatever. So that a lot of those cards got pushed. But the issue with Butler has always been, though, he was quiet for so long, the market forgot. Because even last year, his stuff took off. But when he was playing at the pace, he was playing at in the playoffs and then go to the finals. It just didn't. I'm sure his prism base is, I would guess, is close to 1,000. You have those, Jess?
Right now? Jimmy Butler, last year, his high got up to about 1,200. Right now, it's down to about 500.
Really? For his rookie PSA 10? That's super low.
Yeah, because as I said, I think they could upset somebody in round one. And I just don't think people realize how good he is in a historical sense. Like, he really has a chance to be one of the better guys from this generation. Hey, also, like that 2012-13 Panini Prism Box, you have one of those, right, Mike?
I have some in the attic,
yeah. That is turning out, I think, to be
Grail.
One of the five iconic sets. You look at like the way it went through in the old days and the 69 tops and 86 flair, 57 tops, 61 flair. But then you kind of go into the 90s and the 2000s, 96 tops chrome.
Sure. Yep. 96 tops chrome is big.
03 tops chrome.
Anything 03. Yeah. I mean, LeBron. But after that.
And then 12, 13 Panini Prism. There was the year break. So it's like almost like a double draft. You get tiers of rookies. And like Butler's like the seventh best card in that set, I think.
You got Kawhi. You got AD. Isn't Beal in that set?
Kyrie. Dame Lillard's in that set.
Kyrie.
Davis. Dame. Yeah, you mentioned Davis. Then Klay Thompson's in there too. It's like eight Hall of Famers.
It's a weird set. Jimmy's so overlooked too. When's the last time Jimmy was like a headline guy though? I think he's unbelievable. You could argue top five two-way players in the league probably. Because defensively, that's one thing. Jimmy, to me, defensively, has always been just super underrated. But
well, and the other one is Bam for this series. Because I think if they beat Milwaukee, Bam will have a big series. And Bam's, people get bored by centers, especially with card stuff. So, all right. So I'm going to give you my hot take now.
Ooh. Well, that was just a warm take. That was a warm take.
Not as hot as it was Thursday.
Oh, okay. Brother.
The third team I think we have to watch in round one is Atlanta because of the scoring they have, which leads us to this Trae Young conversation that I don't want to say I'm anti Trae Young, but I was just like, all right, he's a fantasy player. He puts up big points, blah, blah, blah. Atlanta's going to play the Knicks in round one unless Miami can somehow flip it. Atlanta, I think, is minus 500 on FanDuel to win the division. So Miami has a tougher schedule. Atlanta's got two easy games. It looks like I think they have the tiebreaker. So I think it's going to be Atlanta and Knicks 4-5. And there's all these Knicks fans. People love the Knicks. They love this team. They love Thibodeau. And they're just thinking like, oh, yeah, oh, the Knicks. Oh, yeah, we'll bang them around. I'm telling you, Atlanta is kind of scary. And they got DeAndre Hunter back this week. They're like 31-30-16, so or 29-19, something like that. Or
they won that streak at the All-Star game. Like,
and they've had injuries. Like Hunter was their second best player when he went down. Trae missed some games, but they're going to have everybody back for this playoffs. And there's a chance they shoot the lights out and kill the Knicks and then kind of go toe-to-toe with Philly in round two, which brings me to the Trae Young thing. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually think he's an unbelievable buy. I think his prices are too low. To me, he's like a must buy now.
He's done nothing but fall.
There's a window right now. And if you're thinking like, just you look at his stats, you look at how young he is. I think he's 21 or 22 still. The stuff he's done already, I think it's probably for the price, the best guy. So my hot take is go get Trae Young now before this 4-5 series.
I don't mind that. So I like the Trae Young. You got it pulled up, Jess?
Yeah. I was going to ask, would you call that your straight cash homie, Bill?
I think this would be my personal straight cash homie would be if you're going to try to bank on somebody catapulting out of round one with a red hot card. I think Trae Young is the guy.
Well, I will
say under 300 now, Jess.
They're not under 300, but they're very close. It's 330.
They started the year 600 in February.
January 3rd, they were selling in the 800s. 800s.
For just base prism PSA 10.
Base PSA 10, yep.
I don't mind that play then. My thing would be if it is even leaning toward them beating the Knicks, like if they're up 3-1 in the series, I'm selling that night. I'm not holding out for the next round because they'll get beat and then all of a sudden the cards drop.
I will say Vegas odds are showing them 10th, tied with Mavericks for winning the finals.
I think the Knicks are winning that series. I am all over the Knicks. I almost wore a Knicks jersey today just because. I watched that whole game yesterday. I'm all on the Knicks now.
What do you have for Trae Young silver prisms?
Let me see.
Those are probably 15, I bet. Those were 25 for a while, up to three grand.
If that's in the 1200 range, I think that's the better play.
I'm going to say they're 4-5 to 1 on the base. So 1400, I'll say.
Because that could double. Because there's so many, so less of them.
Absolutely.
Trae Young, silver prism, you're looking at 1600 right now. They were up to 3800 at the beginning of the year. Man.
And Luka's were 10 grand at the beginning of the year. I mean, so there's room for growth. Zion hit 5. I mean, you're telling me Trae Young couldn't double?
So then the other way to play that is you also could just go all in on Randall heading into that series if you think the Knicks could win. Because if they win, he's going to have a big series. I personally think that's going to be a really hard series for them.
For the Knicks?
Yeah, because Atlanta is just, they get to 115 points. They have all the shooting. They have depth. And the thing with the Knicks, you even saw it yesterday, even though they got the win, it's just like, it's basically Randall, Rose, and sometimes RJ Barrett, and that's it. And I think for them to get into the 115 point range is going to be difficult. So it would have to be like Thibodeau, defense, all this stuff. But Atlanta's really scary. I think they have as much firepower as anybody in the league. They can't play defense, but I think they're a scary team.
It's a relatively hot take. I'm not going to lie. I was expecting more. I don't know if I can say this. I was expecting a
you
little
can't
bit more.
Say that.
Are we allowed no, to no, say no. that, Jesse?
No. This is why I threw water in the take. On Thursday, I was going to be like, get Trae Young. They might make the conference finals. Let's go. But the fact that Miami might flip spots with them makes me nervous, because if it's 3-6, they're not going to beat Milwaukee. So that's brutal. Why I'm a little less hot than I was on Thursday. I didn't realize there was any possibility of Atlanta not getting the 4 or 5 seed.
I just don't hear anybody talking about the 76ers, and I'm just curious, as far as like winning anything, do you guys not see that happening at all?
Show notes, line 4, Philly flop again. There you go, Jess.
Oh, okay. I just don't want to spoil it. Okay.
At all.
We talked about on my pod yesterday a little bit that it lined up really nicely for them. Because they're going to play the 8 seed. The 8 seed is going to suck, whoever it is. If it's Boston, Philly, Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, Washington, doesn't matter. And then round 2, they're going to get probably Atlanta or the Knicks. Now, Atlanta, this is where the hot take part comes in. If Atlanta just came in and shot the lights out, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe Atlanta. And this is the point I made on my pod on Thursday. Every year, there's always a team in round 1 or around there where people are like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Holy mackerel. Wow. That team? Can't believe it. And I think Atlanta is probably the leading candidate right now. So that's why with the trade prices, they're just too low. And the production he's had the first couple years of his career, like, I just think it's out of whack.
He's had and Philly also gets to avoid then having to play Milwaukee and Brooklyn. That one seed.
Right.
I would argue this, though. Maybe the worst year ever to be the 2-3 seed. Like, what if you get stuck playing, like, in both conferences too? I mean, obviously, I think Boston's going in as the 7 seed, I hope, although
Boston's easy out.
Yeah, yeah, easy out.
They're just ready to roll over.
Don't say that. They're going to come back.
They are. Yeah,
they're definitely 100% not coming back.
But even, like, Miami, you talked about, the 6-3 with Miami is brutal. And then out west, I as much as LeBron has been crying about this play-in series, I think this is the best thing they could ever do, going as a 7 seed.
Phoenix won't beat them.
No, and why do you want to go in 6 and play the Clippers first round? Like, the Clippers haven't been healthy in a long time, but if they are healthy, that's a savage matchup for them, which I like for Kawhi, because I think Kawhi could beat them. But I think it might be the worst year ever to be a high seeded team in either division, either conference, I mean.
The one that got screwed was Milwaukee, because if Miami's the 6 seed, they're looking at Miami, then Brooklyn, then Philly. First 3 rounds before we even get to the finals. And Milwaukee's been playing pretty well, but that's pretty tough. I think with the Philly thing, the Embiid, I would never recommend an Embiid card, just because I'm not convinced from a health standpoint, he's going to be there, you know?
ESPN has it rated as his, Mike, tell me again, what's PER stand for?
Player efficiency rating.
He's number 1 in the league right now, Joel Embiid.
So here's the problem with that stat, Jesse. Robert Williams is 8th.
So,
and Jesse is never. Jesse, you were as relevant.
Should I know that name?
No, Jesse, okay. You were as relevant in the playoffs as Robert Williams is. So, okay, just to put in perspective, we have been a sell on Embiid forever. We were saying that before he got injured, sell him as soon as he came back.
Well,
he
Joker's
jumped again,
2, though. I mean, we care about Joker, but
Joker's durable, though. Embiid to me is like why you don't buy pitchers, but rookie cards of pitchers. Anybody for fantasy keeper leagues or baseball cards, you just don't invest in pitchers, because they're one pitch away from Tommy John surgery at all times.
First guy on record, by the way, Joker MVP months ago. Just throwing that out there. So we're not right often. Every once in a while. That's our motto. We don't get it right a lot, but when we do, we brag about it unnecessarily.
What are the color prisms for Jokic up to? Like the greens and the...
Okay, Joker 2015... color prisms. Let me see here.
So put in green prism, Jess.
Put in green. I think the green's over like 4 now.
Probably, because his base is still hovering around 13 to 15. I bet all those are super low pops too. Back in 2015, it was just a whole different world with the surfaces and the scratches and all that stuff. So,
oh man, it's going for 4. The green one's going for like 4,000 right now.
Yep.
Not Mike, have you noticed there's just less inventory available right now because of this PSA shutdown, or am I imagining it?
On the single side of things?
Just in general, looking for cards. I think the vintage thing, the PSA thing is just kind of cratered.
I think a lot of guys are just, on the single side especially, I think a lot of guys are doing what I'm doing and just holding stuff and say, hey, we'll wait until PSA opens. But for that reason, though, you have stacks of stuff not being sold. Like, a lot of guys are just, if you've been in the hobby the last year strong and like buying and flipping, it's like, why would you sell out quick when you could just wait a couple months and start subbing again? So I'm not selling stuff raw. I just don't think there's any reason to. Just hold it and wait. I think a lot of guys are just holding and waiting on it. And then there's not a ton of new stuff.
But do you think there's less PSA stuff because there's not the cycle of grading things? So we just have less PSA inventory right now?
There's definitely some of that. And I think the other side of that thing is people are waiting to see what happens when PSA opens up again. My thing would be if you have a lot of this, that's why I think this is actually perfect timing. If the NBA playoffs were a month later, I'd be terrified to make a play on like Trey. I'd be scared of Ja. All these guys, even Luka, because yeah, they're going to have a spike because of the series. But all of a sudden, PSA, who's on track to open back up in July, they are definitely getting through orders faster now than before. At some point, we see the flood. I hate ultra modern stuff long term anyways. Base stuff. Color prisms, I'm fine with. But anything base, I just think right now the value, I think all those values come crashing down eventually. But I think it's a perfect time. I mean, right now is the time to do it. Like, if you have it, sell it in 2 weeks. Get out of the way before the PSA flood.
Do you think this is going to be best opportunity for those guys who got in the market like in February when, you know, prices were at all-time highs? Because you got to think a lot of these guys who did get in, they may just be holding it because they're like, oh, market's tanked from when I bought in. I'm going to wait till it goes back up. Do you think this is going to be that best opportunity for a while?
I don't know that we're going to see, unless they're super relevant, like playoff run relevant, I don't think we're going to see base cards go back up. And I'm not saying PSA all of a sudden is going to pump out 10 million cards. I know that's not going to happen by July, but they're returning way more orders. And there's just this rumor going around the hobby that everybody hates base now and it's overrated. And it's true, but there's also money to be made in the short term. I'm good buying Trey right now. Hold it for 2 weeks and sell it. 3 weeks and sell it. But like in 6 months, I don't want to be holding a stack of Trey Young cards. Or in a year, because I just think these values now are inflated.
So these are quick flips in this take. There's no anybody we talked about this morning so far that you would say hold for a while.
No, I think Jimmy Butler is a get now. I really do. I think that one, I think he's just too low. And I think Trey, compared to the Luka and Jokic and some of these other guys, people just like him. They like the stats. They like how he plays. He hasn't had that moment on the big stage yet. In the playoffs, which you've covered really well in this podcast, the playoffs just shines this hot spotlight on certain guys, and then people go nuts. It happened with Luka. Anyone who watched basketball knew Luka, what he was doing, but when he had that Clippers three, it was like it kind of woke up everybody. Oh, I got to get that guy now. And then it set off like the stampede. So the question is, who sets the stampede this year? It's all the usual suspects. Like, you're not getting a deal on Jokic at this point. Luka's a little low. But Trey's, I would say, the one guy that you could see it like jumping. The other one, I know this won't happen because the Celtics suck, but Tatum's playing so well right now that if for some reason they got their shit together, sorry, I swore, it would be because Tatum averaged like 35 a game in the playoffs and then people went nuts. I just don't think they're good enough to beat anybody. But it would be because of him if they did.
They're beating Philly. There you go. That was my hot take I was saving for you. I can't keep it in. Celtics are going to lose to Charlotte and then win against they're going to beat the Wizards. Celtics 8 seed, beat Philly first round.
Well, you've been on the Westbrook cards for a while, and I actually think Washington's making it.
So, I would love to see that. I hate him as a player. I actually listened to you and Russillo. By the way, I didn't know Russillo was from Massachusetts. I've been in a coma for the last 25 years, apparently. He never responded to one of my tweets, so I don't talk about Ryan a lot. And I don't understand the spelling of his name. Should just be an A.
There'd be a lot of aggro New England sarcastic energy between the two of you. I don't know. It would be like when two cats just hate each other immediately, or you might like each other. I don't know how it would go.
No, he would not like me. I've been told multiple times that I'm not very likable.
That's
fair
true.
Criticism.
I've heard people say that.
I hate Westbrook. I like him only in the hobby sense. I am so sick of people forcing this down my throat, though, that, oh, another triple-double season. At some point, don't you have to start winning, like, meaningful games for me to... And he blows it. I was listening to you guys on Locker Room, actually. And I was sitting there watching the game, and I think Russillo said it. He's like, watch, he's going to have a bad defensive play. And the dude The Wizards decide to quadruple team. Is it Robin or Brooks? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Lopez brothers are worthless. You could cover him in the post.
Yeah.
And Westbrook does that all the time. I just hate. I cannot ever get behind Westbrook being on my team. And I don't even know if the market's going to keep responding because the guy's having another unbelievable season. And like, what's it doing? Very little movement. I mean,
well, out of the 08 draft, he's probably the last guy to get, right? All those other guys are on the downside or on their way out of the league.
Yeah, retired. Kevin Love's like working at McDonald's now.
Yeah, Kevin Love basically didn't show up for the season. The 09 draft is funny because a lot of those guys are still really relevant. You know, not just Curry, but Jrue Holiday is from that draft. And Jrue Holiday, we probably
Harden's in, right?
Harden's in that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Jrue Holiday is an interesting one because if Milwaukee made the finals,
he has to average 25.
He'd
to
have 30. A moment. And yeah, I don't know what his card's worth, but
very little. Very little Jrue Holiday love. Even Chris Middleton. I think everybody's kind of like, yeah, they're third tier type guys. But yeah, I don't hate. Here's a random question, by the way. I wrote this down the other day, prepping for the show.
Yeah.
You did prep? You said no prep.
That's awkward.
I did it today. 1993, this day in history, Celtics great inducted to the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's a Celtics great. This is a trivia question for you. Spur of the moment.
1993.
Inducted in 1993. I use the term Celtics great loosely because he probably went in wearing a different uniform. Maybe not, though.
So it was Artis Gilmore?
I don't know. Good old
Bill Walton? Oh, okay.
Did he go in as a Bill? Did he go in as a Blazer?
I mean, he should have, but he had like animosity. He sued that team because they misdiagnosed his foot.
That's why I was wondering.
So he might have gone as a Celtic.
I don't know why I threw it in the middle of the conversation, but I want to make sure it got in there.
There's been a big renaissance for the Bill Walton rookie card. I'm here for it because I had that thing like 15 years ago.
I got
it.
Like
the
73, 74, 75, 76 cards took off. Basically all the way through the 70s. I saw there was a Bobby Jones PSA 10. Rookie card. Bobby Jones, Hall of Famer.
The golfer?
He was on Denver and Philly. He played with Dr. J. He was the best defensive forward of his generation.
Bobby Jones, yeah.
Made the Hall of Fame, and it was like, okay, that's nice. Like, he's kind of a borderline Hall of Famer. His PSA 10 rookie card from the 75 set went for $7,300 this weekend.
What?
Yeah. All those cards, I don't know what's going on with like Jamal Wilkes and Jack Sigma and Alex English, like these guys who were Hall of Famers, but they're a level down, but the cards are kind of scarce. Bernard King's another one. Those cards all went bonkers over the last year.
I mean, it makes sense. We had to have some sort of a rise because it has been a slow month and a half across the board. I mean, when Jordan rookies are down, the whole basketball market is kind of trends that way and goes down. So
my theory is that it's rich people and foreign money, and they're just trying to take down Hall of Fame rookies, and they don't care what the price is that they give. So, you know, their assistant or whatever, and they're just like, here's my list of 75 cards. Just get these. I don't care what they cost. Because the price, like Bobby Jones for $7,300 that makes no sense at all.
Bobby, yeah, I don't even, there's your straight cash homie. Bobby Jones, buy for $5,000 or less.
Bobby Jones, sell. No, sell Bobby Jones.
Sell Bobby Jones. That's straight trash homie.
Sell Jack Sigma, sell Bobby Jones.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a question for you, Bill, because before we move on to more vintage guys, big question on Facebook was wanting to get your take on LaMelo Ball, because he kind of buoyed this year's card prices as far as the sport goes. What's your take?
I'm all in.
On LaMelo, really?
It's as wrong as I've been about a draft guy in a while, and I'm here. That's fine. The most important thing when you're wrong is to admit when you were wrong. And I admitted it 4 or 5 months ago. I think he is really, really, really good. And the cooler thing about him, like for the card industry, is like young people love him.
Yeah.
Like my son loves him. He's a TikTok, YouTube, Instagram kind of like the stuff he does translates to like these little 7-second clips in a way that there's really not a lot of guys that translate that way. Like my son loves him. My son wouldn't sit down and watch a whole Charlotte game, but he knows what's going on with LaMelo and all the stuff he's doing. And I actually, we can't really get the LaMelo cards yet because they just came out. Can't get them graded, so they're the raw thing. I'm anti buying raw cards. I just think it's too risky. But I think when the PSA stuff comes out, I think he's going to rightfully have a huge bump because, you know, for what he did this year at age 19 and how important he was to a team that was pretty good. That's like a potential playoff team.
Yeah, competing. They're going to beat our Celtics.
I'm in on LaMelo.
I will say, just looking at some of the values on that card, like it started out around a little over $100. They are all the way down. And this is for the Raw, of course.
Raw Prism.
Yeah. No. This is Hoops. Excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
$20.
$14 now. I mean,
I bet that's not much lower than Zion, though. I mean, a raw hoops card is a pretty cheap. I mean, it's pretty cheap, anyways.
It's just surprising. Spectrum. Just 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago, it was $100, and how much he's fallen.
The Hoops box is kind of a disaster, right? Because
they're super
you couldn't
expensive.
Get them graded in time. The boxes were super pricey, and then they got replaced by the Prisms, and now it's like, cool, I have these cards that I can't even get graded, and now they've been supplanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about Anthony Edwards? Where are you at on him? He surprised me more. I was high on LaMelo because of his passing. Edwards has been so much better offensively than I ever thought we'd see.
Yeah, it's tough because he's an incredible athlete. He clearly is gifted. I have no idea if it will ever translate to him being on a good team, but there's a ceiling with him that I think the cards are going to take into account. Yeah, there's a chance he could be like Dwayne Wade in 2006 from a scoring standpoint someday. So you have to kind of factor that in. I don't know if he's going to get there. He's not a guy that seems like he'd be particularly fun to play with. He gets the ball. He's going to shoot. He's not really looking for teammates. I think what makes LaMelo special is just how he uses everybody on the court with him. Edwards is more like the traditional scorer, gunner side. We'll see though. He's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's probably skewed a little bit too high because I think there's some uncertainty with what he could end up being.
Yeah, and he throws up those random 40-point games here and again, too. I think that messes with his market. It just gives people this made-up fantasy that, hey, he's going to be this guy. The other guy, too, I think we were both high on the last time we talked. It's been a few months, obviously, before the injury, was Halliburton.
Yeah.
I think he showed he can play, though. I don't know that he's going to be – I worry that he's stuck in Sacramento. I don't know that he's a bad offseason buy, though, because I think his prices are just going to plummet. I mean, they've already come – they were never anywhere near LaMelo anyways. Long-term, though, like I say long-term into next season, I think he's a legit starter in the league for them.
Yeah, and he was in a weird situation because he's a true point guard, but he had to play off the ball with Fox.
Right.
That team's weird. I'm not sure they're the best coach team. They had injuries and different things happen. And then he got hurt right as he started playing well. I agree with you. I think I'm a huge fan of his. And who knows? Like, maybe they trade Fox this summer. Maybe they trade Halliburton and try to get whatever. I think it'll be too low. I like him. I think Nesmith on the Celtics, the prices might have started to bump a little bit, but I actually think he might have a chance.
Really? Now, what about Pritchard? Are you a Pritchard guy at all?
Now, Nesmith's the one that I think has real... If you're talking about like from this draft, who has a chance to be an all-star someday? It's a lower list than you think. The stuff Nesmith does, I'm not saying he's going to make an all-star team, but at least you can see like slivers of potential for it. Pritchard,
so like a penny stock, like a penny stock.
Pritchard's TJ McConnell is like his ceiling.
Never a good comparison.
Yeah. So at least Nesmith's like that guy might be a 40% three-point shooter. He's an excellent defender already. It could be a good swing guy. I think Quickly on the Knicks is another one that I think has a lot of potential. Stewart on Detroit, who's a center who nobody is focused on Detroit at all, but he's not bad. There's some good guys in this draft. I think it's one of those things where you go back and you look at all the cards you saved and you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize I had one of these. And now the guy's all of a sudden good. I think there's going to be at least three of those guys.
This class was brutal, too, just because you came off. I mean, when things first started getting hot, it was Trey and Luka. Then last year, like nothing we'd seen with Zion and Ja. And then this happens. I do have one other question basketball-wise. Ja Morant. This is the one that I've been the most wrong on. I had like $50,000 tied up in him, but at low prices. And I thought, it doesn't matter. He's going to catch Zion. He's going to be great. So his stuff, I was buying at like $200, thinking it was going to Zion level 6-7. And it was close for a bit. Now he's like Trey. He's like 300, even lower than Trey. His prisms are like $300.
292 as of this morning, Mike. No offense. Keep going.
Jesse.
I got in a little higher than that number. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I just like, he seems to be very good to me. I watch him play. I'm like, this kid's got the attitude. He wants to win. I don't think he cares if he's scoring or anything, which is probably at his detriment in the hobby. I mean, there's no shot they're making noise in the playoffs, though, right? I mean, do they beat the Spurs? But then you got to beat the Lakers or Golden State?
I don't know what to expect because Golden State, people are just penciling them in, right? And if you actually watch Golden State, they have like 2.5 good players.
Yeah,
and
if Curry doesn't put up 50, you're not winning anything.
And Memphis could absolutely beat them in a play-in game. And I think people want the Curry-Lakers thing so bad that if that's the 7-8 seed, that'll be great. But the Warriors aren't beating the Lakers unless Curry has like 59 points or something. And then they would have to play the Grizzlies to basically make the playoffs. The Grizzlies are deep. I mean, Verno's way higher on them than I am, but the Grizzlies are deep. They could absolutely get in. I'm with you on Ja. He sprained his ankle right after basically the season started. It was like 3 weeks in when he was playing really well, and he had a high ankle sprain. Yeah, and I never felt like he was right until recently. So I think you're fine. I would hold on to those and not panic. Don't sell him. He's good. Ja's legit.
My dream scenario, Lakers wipe out Golden State, so I don't have to hear about Golden State, because I don't know why I hate them, but I do, and I shouldn't. I mean, Curry's a little guy, so I always root for a little man. And then Memphis beats, because I think it actually is a decent series. If Memphis had, I don't think it's happening, but if Memphis got into the 8 seed and played Utah, I just have never seen a less formidable 1-2 punch. Like, I'm not scared of Utah or Phoenix in the playoffs. And I know everybody tells me Chris Paul is MVP level. He's another guy. I don't fear him in the playoffs. So anyways, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
The Memphis thing playing Utah would be fun because they have that big physical center, Jonas, who, you know, would go at Gobert and try to get him in foul trouble. And they would kind of play them old school in a way that I think Utah would have at least a little trouble with. And then the Ja piece, who knows? He could get hot. So when we talk about, like, I guess that's a good one to add for, like, who could get a huge round one bump. Maybe
put
Ja,
him on the list.
1-8. They're up 3-1 against Utah, and people are going nuts, and he has like 45 in game four, something like that.
I'm telling you, it's happening.
We know Verno. Verno will tell you the truth. He won't say it. He won't say it on the air, but he'll tell you privately what to think on that one.
I'm going to call him as soon as the show's over then.
Yeah.
I have
will you then
hefty...
put that on the air once he tells you?
That's perfect. You're putting him on the spot. Now Chris has to take the phone call.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Perfect. Okay, great.
So win-win. I think we're straight cash homie time. I don't know.
Let's do it.
Are we jumping straight... Oh, God.
Just get to it, and then we'll figure out what to do after that. I didn't know how long we had Bill for. I was nervous. You made an awkward comment.
I thought I was here for an hour.
I thought so. Then Jesse gets awkward. He's in a suit and tie. How can you look at that face and take the show seriously? I can't. I didn't know what we were doing. I'm excited for the rest of the show, though.
The amazing thing about Jesse on Zoom is you never know when his camera froze or whether that's just the way he's looking, where he's just staring at you.
Man of the people. When he's deep in thought, you don't know what he's thinking or if he's alive.
The most upsetting thing is that people don't get to see this, and that's what's really sad. Can we use this as a clip? I only want this clip where I'm just staring at the camera.
I'll say this, Bill. The no video has really affected his performance. Jesse was basketball in February. He was peaking.
This is so much better. The pod goes up right away. You guys were putting your podcast in 18 hours after you taped them.
I agree.
No, that was perfect.
I like it.
The podcast instantly is perfect. People miss his face. That's okay.
I had so many Amazon costumes that were delayed in shipping, so I never got to wear them. And now they're here. And I don't know. What do you do with 20 different Marvel character costumes? I don't know. Bill?
Listen, Spotify is going to get to a point 6-7 months from now when the video podcast can tape simultaneously with the pod and there's not the whole process afterward. And then we'll be good.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Only time I'm going to bring this up. I don't like to harp on this too much. I've been accused of being negative. Odds this show is on the air 6 or 7
Stop
months.
It, Mike.
Why are
you,
you
saying
this?
That? Why do you say that, Mike?
It throws Jesse off so good.
No, your New England DNA is terrible.
I know. It's not true. I'm 5'6". I mean, what are we? The DNA is not doing me any favors, to be honest.
All right,
Jesse.
Straight cash homie.
Based on our conversation, Bill is going to hate every one of these picks now. That's okay. Do you, Jesse, you want to lead us off?
Oh, yeah. I've got a straight cash homie.
Just don't do that. Don't do this Dungeons and Dragons NFT stuff.
No,
I'm out.
No.
I don't want to even hear about it.
I knew because you were coming on. I was like,
this fake virtual card. It's those only are what it was. It's like this.
We
is
hate
be,
NFTs.
We hate
we love
NFTs,
but we love crypto on the show.
No, I hate both Ponzi schemes.
No, don't say that.
Jesse, be careful. Be careful with your Ponzi scheme investments.
Oh, no, I'm the crypto guy here. Well, Jesse's in a little bit too, but crypto has been my golden goose.
I will
tell
you.
They call me Willy Wonka around the place.
Hang on, hang on. Before I tell you what mine was, I don't know if you recall, Bill, one of the first few episodes, I did say buy Doge at 4 cents. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Shaquille O'Neal. Why is his card value so low?
How low is it?
So this is the 92 Fleer, which is like the quote-unquote official rookie. Like, it's the first one that came out. It's card number 401 out of that set, 92 Fleer. It's got a gold border around it. It recently sold for about, it's going for about 400. 300 is as low as it got just a couple days ago. Bottom line is, this guy should not be at $300 for a PSA 10 for his rookie card. He had sales upwards. This was going for around $1,000 just
in February.
Like, yeah, like three,
during
4 months ago. Yeah. So I'm saying you can get this card right now for like 400. If you wait a little bit longer, it could, I mean, there's a chance it could go a little bit lower, but I'm seeing a lot of guys already posting buy it nows for like $750 to $1,100. I say there's an expectation that it is too low and guys want you to, you know, buy it at a higher price. If you can get it lower, which you can, there are some deals right now on eBay. Get the Shaquille O'Neal 92 Fleer rookie.
I thought there was a 50% chance you were going to go Kazam in some way or shape or form when you said Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not going to lie to you. Like an autographed DVD cover.
I think the tie's cutting off circulation in his brain.
That's not true.
I'm just getting Topps Gold if I'm getting a Shaq rookie. Yeah. To me, Fleer is, it's the subpar Shaq rookie. I don't like those 90s Fleer cards. I think they're all ugly. The last good Fleer set was probably the 88, the Reggie Miller rookie set. Right? Those look kind of cool.
Even that.
But
I just hate him. Yeah, I'm out.
All right. That's fine.
Straight cash homie picks sure to be hated by the boss.
No. Hold on the Jesse thing. His instincts aren't wrong on Shaq. Shaq's one of the 15 best players ever. There's a bunch of Lakers documentaries coming out that I think will kind of keep him back in the limelight. He's on TNT. He feels consistently relevant. He's a huge spokesman. And I think if you compare him to like Moses Malone, Hakeem, David Robinson, all those guys, he's clearly the most relevant now person. He's the one my son would know over anybody else. So I do think his cards are too low.
The only negative against him is he was a center. That's
right.
That's it for the hobby side of it.
But I think you made this point, Mike, a couple weeks ago. Like, he's one of the most famous ex-basketball players who is alive that we have. He's
one of the five most.
No, well, MJ's Jordan, the most famous.
Jordan, yeah. Okay. Second most.
I would say he's probably second.
My wife knows who Shaq is. That's always my litmus test.
100%.
She doesn't know any baseball players. Not a single active baseball player. She knows Shaq. There you go.
So I think Jesse's instincts are correct.
Always. I don't know if they've ever been incorrect.
Except with NFTs.
You see how much he just, again, this is, look at the face. He is just lighting up.
People don't know what, they don't know what the face, so you, if you want to describe the face.
We can tell the face.
It's normal. It's a normal face. Just average. I'm content with what's
happening. It looks like you're not frozen for once. All right.
It's the face of somebody who stared Taylor Swift in the eye and said, I'm going to beat you in this talent show.
She sang a dumb song with a guitar. I wore a coconut bra. I mean, what did she think she was doing up there? It was embarrassing. I'm sorry. Continue.
I'm going to Miami, guys. Bam Adebayo. I think Miami's beaten. If they play Milwaukee, I think it's the only 1-2-3 they could beat. I think they're going to beat Milwaukee. I like Bam's optic, 2017 optic, Bam Adebayo. PSA 10s are under $100. I think it's a steal. And I think Tyler Hero's select PSA 10s at $75. I don't think Hero's ever going to be an all-star, but I think he's going to have a series against Milwaukee where he puts up 34 points and shoots 9 for 11 from 3. Just like one or two games where he's going to get weird offensively. I don't like him. I just think it's going to happen. I think they're going to pull off a wicked upset before they get smoked by the Nets. So
you're basically, you think he's like Julian Edelman-esque, where regular season is like, eh, and then the playoffs, he comes alive.
Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. He's not going to get in, but
he definitely should. He's definitely
no
not
chance,
a Hall of Famer.
But the greatest postseason receiver of all time.
Well, Jerry Rice is. But he gets to be brought up in the greatest postseason receiver. I love Julian Edelman. Jerry Rice was the best postseason receiver of all time.
I know. This is, see, people accuse me of being Boston biased. I don't care about most Boston teams that much anymore. I am New England Patriots biased, though. I think
the Jerry Rice cards are underrated. Why did Walter Payton surpass Jerry Rice? Did we ever figure that out?
In value?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say Rice's high grade stuff has a much higher population. Although it may not, that weird 86 border was tough. But those 70, what is Payton? 76? Payton's actually
just a harder card to find.
Yeah, and people didn't care. You've said it before. You didn't care about football in the 70s. Not like that. A lot of guys just didn't care about vintage football.
No, I did care about football cards in the 70s.
No.
Stop embarrassing yourself, Mike.
No, here's the point. There were less stars to latch onto to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I got this card. Where baseball had all these, where you're like, oh my God, I got Pete Rose.
Right. Everybody cared about Hank Aaron. Baseball.
With football, it was basically like Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Peyton. There was only like six guys. There just weren't famous football players like that. So
I think football is the next market to really boom. I don't know when totally it happens, agree. But all those guys you just mentioned, Staubach, Terry Bradshaw, the 80s guys have already really moved up. I mean, Elway, Marino, Montana, Jerry Rice.
Well, LT is the one, the 82 no tops.
Market. Yeah, no market still. Very little.
I look at, to me, LT and Rice, anytime somebody are like, who are the greatest players of all time? LT and Rice are always two of the first five mentioned. And then the other three will switch. Some people will say like Jim Brown. Some people will say Peyton, some Tom Brady. You'll even get some Tom Brady dissenters on top five all time. LT and Rice are always in there. LT, greatest defensive player ever. Rice, greatest receiver ever. We know Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time.
Thank you.
We know. We know, Mike. Mike, we know. We knew. We didn't need the sixth and seventh Super Bowls to know. We knew before the Atlanta game. But there's some people out there who still like, well, Peyton Manning. I don't know. You look at those stats.
Those are the same guys who live in their basement and believe in flat earth. I swear. I always go Kyrie Tom. Irving. Oh, yeah, another clown. I always go Tom, Jimmy, and Jerry. Those are my big three. I think Jim Brown's another guy, though.
LT has to be there, though. LT is, by all accounts, the best defensive player ever.
I always overlook defense. You're probably right. I mean, he revolutionized the position,
But yeah, I'm with you. I think the football stuff, especially the 81, 82, 84, 86, like 84 has the quarterbacks, 86 has Rice and Steve Young, and I think Reggie White.
Yep.
And then 81's got Montana and Art Monk and a couple other ones. But the 70s ones, it's just not there's Peyton in 76 and then Dorsett in 78. Other than that.
So you got Bradshaw in 1971 and Staubach.
Yeah, you have to go way back.
Right. Yeah. I think Staubach and Bradshaw are the two, especially Bradshaw. He's a guy, again, super relevant. He's been in some, you know, random like rom-coms and stuff. Everybody knows Bradshaw. Or at least more people know him than Staubach, I would say. Just relevance to non-sports fans.
Failure to Launch. He was the dad in that.
Look at this guy. You didn't even look that up either. No, because you didn't break eye contact.
Are we done with this segment? Because I had an important football conversation for you.
I got one guy, one other straight cash homie guy. I'm sorry. You started running all over me with Julian Edelman. Man. Derrick Rose. I am buying my overreactive nonsense hype from yesterday. I am the biggest Knicks fan now. I can't even tell you. I love RJ Barrett. I think Julius Randle looks
biggest
like...
Knicks fan. I thought he's from New England. What the hell is going on right now?
It's weird.
I tweeted this and I said Simmons is not going to come on the show today because of this. But I think Randle is a Charles Oakley-like, ugly-looking dude and he's dominating. And I think Derrick Rose is going to put together a magical May. I don't know why. I just think he's going to have a playoff run and we're all going to freak out about it and then he's going to blow out his knee or his hip or something.
That's another good one then for round one overreaction, guys. So that's you're saying Derrick Rose, round one. So what are his rookie cards now? I'm kind of it on this one.
I'm going all 20. Man, Bill has no conviction. He was just out. He's all Atlanta. Now he just jumped. I'm kidding.
I'm looking for value.
I just got a text. Don't insult me again. So 2008 is, I just went with his Topps Chrome because I do think they're going to get into the four. I think they're going to beat Atlanta. I just have a feeling he's going to light it up. I think maybe not, but 2008 Topps Chrome raw cards are like $50. BGS 9.5s are $250. PSA 10s are like $550 to $600.
Ooh, that's kind of high.
It is.
It's coming and it's on its way back up though. So it is going in that direct.
They were $450 before. But for 2008 Topps Chrome, that's a weird year. Like, you compare his pricing to Westbrook, not even close. Not that he's ever getting to Westbrook level, but he's going to make way more noise in the playoffs than Westbrook is, I think. Derrick Rose is my straight cash homie if you have expendable funds. Like, this is nothing. You don't care about it. This is the dude I just think, hey, and he's a guy I would sell, because we keep getting told, hey, if you're going to do straight cash homie, you got to tell people when to sell. I'm selling Rose when they're up 3-1 or 3-2. I'm selling during the Atlanta series, though. I'm not holding out, like, waiting for them to beat Philly or Brooklyn. That's not going to happen. But I am holding him until they beat them.
Well, there's a fun Hall of Famer possibility with him, if you were thinking of the Holt, because I think every MVP has made the Hall of Fame.
So, oh, really?
There's a chance he could be the first ever MVP that doesn't make the Hall of Fame. But now he's put enough of his career together here that, you know, you could say, like, oh my God, he would have been one of the best 40 guys of all time if he didn't blow out his knee, which is, you know, we do that with other guys, right? Bill Walton basically had 3 good years in his whole career, but he was a no-brainer Hall of Famer because he won a title and he won an MVP. So Rose will be an interesting one because he'd be the first one who didn't make it, which would be weird.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over 2 decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what his career numbers are. I mean, I guess there's a shot. He's the first guy that comes to mind for me. Him and Grant Hill. Grant Hill's always the first guy. Like, what ifs? But then it's always him.
Well, Grant Hill made it.
I just mean, I don't think he ever came anywhere near his ceiling. Like, if he was just
healthy. He missed like 40. Grant Hill was incredible. But I think the college helped him with there, where Rose was in there. So Rose has played 643 games.
That's it?
Which Westbrook's almost at like 1,000.
Westbrook, though, like the most used guy in the history of the league ever. I just feel like that guy never is not on the court when he's healthy.
I know.
And he's always healthy.
Even when he's not healthy, he's out there. All right, can I ask my football question now?
I mean, you do whatever you want.
Are you asking me or, oh, Mike? Yeah, go ahead.
So, then. Both of you. So, bought 3 boxes of Chronicles.
Did you break these with your son the other day?
I break those of my son on Saturday. Okay. Hoping. Fun box, right? You buy those boxes more to break them. You hope you're getting the Black Prism. You hope you're getting some autograph card. And it's just like the perfect box to break. So we bought 3. Hadn't bought boxes in a while to break. And he was all excited. And Saturday night, we opened the boxes, hoping for the autographed Justin Herbert card. Opening the first box, we get the Justin Herbert card. 1 out of 49.
So, patch auto.
Patch right? auto.
Yeah. Wow.
So we have now paid for all 3 boxes with this one card. Dang. So my instinct was, well, the other 2 boxes aren't going to have the Justin Herbert card. We bought them from the same seller. Like, the odds of getting 2, I was like, we shouldn't open the 2nd and 3rd box. I brought this up. He's like, no, you promised. And he did that whole thing. So we opened the 2nd and 3rd boxes. And obviously nothing. Nearly anything. It wasn't bad. We got a couple good Black Prisms and whatever. But wasn't the move after getting the Herbert to just not open the other 2 boxes and put them back on eBay or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, for guys who are in it, like financially, yeah, of course. You hit the case hit or basically the case hit.
I'm out. I should be out at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's for a customer, yes. Like, me as a breaker, that's why I always broke full cases. Like, I can't do it's hard for me to do like box at a time, because then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to dump those off back to a distributor afterwards, because I can't sell to the next guy because I feel bad. Like, I know it's not coming. But for you as a customer, financially, yeah, that would have been the best move.
Yeah, but that, I thought about that too. I was like, this is like bad juju to send the boxes out when I know they don't have the Herbert. So that's why I didn't put up a fight. But it was just weird. Like, I wish we had gotten him in the third box. The first box, which was amazing, but you peak with that. Mike is going to get burned on his Tua take. I really worry about your Tua. I'm telling you.
And you know what's amazing? I really worry about it.
I
cannot find them to buy in the price range I want to be at. We're going to that big show in Wisconsin. We're leaving Thursday. I am on the hunt for Tua. I'm going to be riding. I've already got this played out. Jesse's going to wear his Marvel costume. I'm going to ride on his shoulder so I can see above the table. And I'm buying every Tua in sight.
Wait a second. You're going to a card show in Wisconsin this weekend.
Massive card show.
Don't tell anybody. It's a secret.
That's like, serious. What? Yes, the Wisconsin Dell show. It's at some big resort.
Is there going to be masks? What's going on?
There will be masks on these two people, and we're vaccinated. I don't know how the rest of them. I don't have a lot of faith in the card world to do anything responsible, but we will have.
In my pockets,
masks.
I'll have alcohol for the hands.
I was trying to think of a way to make card conventions more depressing. And I think the pandemic was it. Now to add masks to all the other reasons, they're the worst place on the earth.
It's not great. It's not a great look.
The worst food ever. It's like it's just like stale hot dogs and nachos.
And they always have pretzels.
Yeah, and pretzels. The bathrooms are like a crime scene.
Hang on. Bill just lost power. But he says, I'm going to pick it back up at that point where we're talking about smelly people
right,
on a garden
right
show.
Where the diarrhea conversation came in. Go.
Well, listen, the people at card conventions, they're not exactly like having salads. Like, it's you're not going to like what you smell.
They're fine people.
And it becomes a question of, like, how long can I hold this pee in? And eventually you're like, I can't hold it any longer. And you just kind of have to go in like you're going to a coal mine without a mask. So you got that. And then on top of it, it's what, 99.9% guys?
That's a low number. That's a low estimate.
There's seven females total. And I would say 90% of those people are just unfriendly.
What have you talked me into, Mike? You said this was going to be fun.
Jesse, these are the most unfriendly, suspicious people you're ever going to hang out with. Mike knows. Look at the look on his
face.
I'm still trying to get over how we had to revisit. We had to finish. Like, you know what? We're not going to scrap. Let's get right back into it. 3, 2, 1, bathroom.
It is just rough. But the fun part is there's just a million cards everywhere. And there's some nice people. But I just, the personality management and just, adding masks to all that, I can't imagine.
Not great. Yeah, it's not great. And I don't know what the requirements are up there. We've got a bunch of merch to give out, though. I'm a big t-shirt guy. I got a bunch of sports cards nonsense. T-shirt. I said, that's it. We're saving the ship. T-shirts.
Stop saying saving it like it's going down.
Just let it go, Jesse.
I got a question. Are you going to the one in Chicago? Because that's the only reason I signed up for any of these, Bill, is because there was a chance you were going to be at one of them. So will you be there?
My son is pushing hard. I'd say it's way more likely because I've had to do some soccer stuff with my daughter, and it's now turning into a...
You went with her, now you got to go with me?
If Zoe wanted you to go, you'd go because it's me. So look, when I'm older, he's going to be in charge of me and my welfare. So there's just certain times when you have to.
I said this on the phone call to Bill. I said, this is going to be the kid when you're crapping your diaper at 90s. I'm like, you know what, Dad? You didn't take me to that show. Change yourself.
That's the thing. That's how it goes. And so the odds are I will be in Chicago. By the way, Chicago, the Nationals in Chicago are really fun because you can actually stay in Chicago. We can have dinner. Mike can be like, you know, halfway through the entrees, it's like half of a beer, and then be like, so what's going on? Are we renewing the show? And he can get all like weird about the show.
I've been accused of being pessimistic.
Mike, the show is fine. I listen to every show. I love the show. Stop getting weird. I've come on twice.
Yeah, two times. Hey, here's a fun fact. We are actually going to Chicago instead of Wisconsin this Thursday because I accidentally bought the wrong plane tickets.
But he got us first class tickets.
Wait a second. How do you buy the wrong tickets between Wisconsin and Chicago? They're completely different areas.
Let me answer this. You remember the look you had mentioned before, Bill, where you don't think there's anything going on in his head?
That's
there are times, despite him being much smarter than me, almost always, there are times when that it really is nothing happening in his skull. That's okay.
Jesse, you should sell the NFT of the text when you told Mike that you guys had to fly through Chicago to go to Wisconsin.
I will say it is a shorter flight to go to Chicago and then drive there than if you had to take two planes to get to Madison, Wisconsin. So I'm in the right. I'm in the clear. We got there faster. You're welcome.
It is. The airport scene is a mess in that the Illinois, Wisconsin. Like, you go to Chicago and you land and it still takes 2 hours to get to downtown.
Bottom line, am I getting COVID at this concert? At this
we're vaccinated. Show? Wearing masks, you savage. What's wrong with
that's
you?
Not 100% safe. God, Bill's really gotten in
you
my
know
head
our
now.
Wives listen, right, dummy?
I know. I'm not. Oh, Hannah, talk to him. Oh, God, this don't is do that. The- I'm joking, Hannah. Don't do it.
I think the only way that these conventions could get less personable would be the combo of masks and then people glaring at the people who don't have masks on is really the only way the energy could be worse.
Oh, I think me and Jesse are going to be the pariahs because we have the mask. I have a feeling we're going to be getting the looks. That's why I'm bringing Jesse, though. I'm bringing my lockbox.
You're being cowards because you have masks on?
Correct. That's why I'm bringing Jesse. See, 5'7 with a bad attitude and a lot of money in a box doesn't fare great. 6'5 with a little bit of a fearful look in his eyes, with that box handcuffed to his wrist, that's a man who's making it back home safe. That's why Jesse's going.
It's the only reason. I have no other purpose at this card show. So.
The show's digressed.
I'm really excited.
All right, I do have two quick questions to end this for you, Bill. I always like to get a couple listener questions, and the guys ask the same thing. This is Jesse's segment, but I'm taking it over because we're going overtime.
Mailbag!
He loves the intros. He's good at them. Hey, you've got a future in this. Your holy grail card that you do not own yet. This is from a guy named Lenny the Duck. So he had to ask that question. Holy grail card you don't own yet. Anything on your wish list?
There's tons of ones on my wish list. Russell and Wilt, I think I just have to take down at some point.
PSA 8, only 350 right now. I don't know why I don't own that Bill Russell card.
That's what it's 350 right now?
Remember you and I talked, it was almost 500. I believe one had just closed for like 350 to 385. Russell's way down. My PSA 4 had reached as high as 26,000. I just lost an auction at 24.8 or 12.8 because I was just stupid and probably fell asleep.
I just feel like Russell and Wilt are eternal. I'm with you on Jackie Robinson. I don't have the right Jackie Robinson card yet. I think that's another one. But there's certain cards that are just, there's certain guys that are just eternal. Mantle's going to be eternal.
Sure. But Bill Russell's there.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Pete Maravich seems like he's kind of semi-eternal, and it's completely out of whack with what his career was, but he's treated like he's Dr. J or Elgin Baylor or Jerry West, which I don't understand.
Okay, I've always missed the boat on that one. I don't get it at all.
His cards are way too high. But Wilt and Russell, I think, are those are the two big ones. And the cool thing, though, Russell, I have the 61 Russell, which I think is one of the best cards. The 57's really right cool there. Too. And
oh, mine's the action shot. Doesn't even count.
Yeah.
You get the headshot 61.
I like both of those cards are awesome. The 61 set itself is awesome.
That's Wilt's rookie, right? Is it Wilt and Oscar?
You know, my favorite set has kind of taken off, the 76 set.
Because you talked about it on this show. The pump.
Do you think that's actually why? I don't understand.
I'd like to think we have that kind of control. I'm pessimistic. So yes, I think it is.
The cards in that set have gone bonkers. And I've said bonkers like 10 times on this podcast. But the 76 tops, a lot of bonkers. Two bonkers heavy, Jesse.
That's like four in a row right then, just referencing the word bonkers.
I stand by the 76 set as the most fun set to hold and file through just the actual cards. The cards are really cool. They're fun to look at.
Who's the big rookies in 76? I'm clueless about the 70s basketball.
David Thompson was the biggest rookie. But there's some... It's the year the leagues merged. So all the guys are in the same set and it's like Walton and Dr. J and Maravich and just on down the line. It's awesome.
I have a question for Bill before you take up all the time with questions. What's your thoughts on the King Golden show?
Which one?
The TV show. He has multiple TV shows? Like the one coming?
Is the TV show officially happening? I didn't know if that was announced.
I'm officially unimpressed at the fact that he has a show and we don't. Personality-wise, come on.
He announced it on his Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff the other day. I've had a few people ask about it. And then I saw that the Chernin Group is one of the ones backing it. So I figured you must know, but maybe you don't.
No, I do know some stuff about it. I didn't know they announced it yet. I think it has a chance. Like, you know, you two will watch it.
Yeah.
And you, well, they're trying to leverage like card collectors. And I think the whole concept of going to visit different places that have a ton of inventory to see what they have would work as a TV show. I've been in that situation a couple of times just when I tagged along where we've gone to look at inventory. And it's freaking cool where you go into somebody's basement and they have $5 million of stuff.
Oh, he's going to people's like to look at people's collection?
I think it's gonna be like just what his life's like. And what part of his life like is he goes to check out people's collections.
That's cool. That idea is bonkers. Let me tell you an idea. let me pitch you an idea right now that's about 1,000 times better than that. Me and Jesse travel to celebrities' houses and do a MTV Cribs style. Show the collection, get them on air.
Show their bathrooms.
That's a show. Nope. You know what it's about? Absolutely nothing.
Boom. That sounds like a different show.
The show, every show ends with Mike getting bitter that the show might get canceled.
Yeah.
Lasts like 4 minutes.
Fair.
I don't know. We talked to the executive and didn't like the look in his eye. I think we're done.
He had a weird
I know
breath.
We just set records on ABC with having LeBron, but I'm just telling you right now, Jesse, by Christmas, we're done.
You're a very angry man.
It's fair. It's not an easy life I lead. So anyways.
What was the other mailbag question?
Other mailbag question was, what is your favorite non-Prism modern basketball product to rip? This is like a Bill and Ben question.
Modern.
Yep.
Oh, while you're thinking about it, the audience apparently wants you to use penny sleeves more often. They're very upset about how stingy you
People
are with
are
your
really
sleeves.
People are really upset with your treatment of cards in these box breaks.
That's my son. My son thinks certain cards are sleeve worthy and other ones are.
Yeah. Apparently you need more sleeves.
We like the hoops boxes are fun to rip just because they're the first cards. But really, the prisms. I wish there was more product out there, you know, that wasn't just kind of Panini driven.
Oh, yeah.
Well, had you not dropped the... Well, I don't want to be critical. Had you not... I haven't been critical yet.
You've never been critical.
I'll start now. You not dropped the ball at Tops, Tops could still
have
license.
I know.
People keep asking about that, too. Like, they think that's coming back sometime soon. I don't think there's any chance.
How many NFTs do you have, Bill? How many Tops NFTs? Like, the ones Tops Digital?
Big fat zero.
Come on, bro. I got some real good ones. I'll sell to
you. You went from being awkward to say hello to him, and all of a sudden, come on, bro. Just bonkers in here all over the place.
I'm out on NFTs.
Okay, here's the next mailbag question. Biggest bump, Jesse, you're after this one. I promise you.
No, you're not.
If we still have a show by then, you'll have the next question.
Oh, my God.
Biggest bump from this week or from next weekend's Hall of Fame induction. Kobe, Duncan, Garnett. To give you a little perspective, Kobe, big time stuff, is down about 50. I say big time. Expensive rookies that are somewhat produced. I'm not talking about crazy low-numbered stuff. Kobe's down about 50%. Duncan is down more than that in some extent in some of his areas. Garnett has had the least drop-off. Who do you see bouncing back the most from this weekend coming up?
Kobe. But I agree with your theory on this, the Hall of Fame inductions, but I think this is a weird year. I just don't think they're going to have any impact at all because the pandemic, they moved it into May. Usually it's late August, there's nothing going on and people can get excited and it's this dead time of the basketball season. Nothing's happening. This time around, the playoffs are happening and I'm not going to watch the Hall of Fame inductions. Like, there's going to be real basketball on. So I just don't think there's going to be the same kind of pop this year.
I think it's good for the sport in general, though, just because it's like that and then 3 days later the play-in start. I do think it's a good cycle for basketball, but yeah, I don't know. Kobe, I think, explodes. I do. You know what? I actually forgot to ask. Is the next Hall of Fame class already set?
No, but they're going to announce it at this one.
And then that'll be
September. So that will be the Paul Pierce.
So who's shoo-ins for that? I mean, Pierce is a lock. Is there anybody else who's locked? Is Bosch going in this year or no?
I don't think he'll go in this year. I think Pierce was a lock. I forget. I haven't seen the list. There's a couple.
Is your boy going in this year or no?
Who's that?
Your boy, Chris. C. Webb.
Oh.
Larry?
C-Web should go in.
Who goes in first? Weber, or who is more deserving, your eye? Weber or Bosch? This was a Twitter thing, and Bosch was overwhelming over Weber. I thought that was...
Weber should be in. It's stupid that he's not in, because you got to factor in Fab Five as well, and the impact he had as a college player, which is a piece of this.
If Dino Raja is in the Hall of Fame, I'm not comfortable in a world where Chris Weber is not, and Dino is. So
Weber was one of the top five guys in the league for like three straight years. And
always playoff relevant.
And probably could have won the 2002 title if it didn't turn into a WWF event. I'm using WWF at the time as WWE now. But
for sure.
But yeah, he got robbed of a title. And if he wins the title, it's completely different. But I think that him not being in is the single dumbest Hall of Fame thing right now.
I got a question for you that this is not from the mailbag, but it is from Indy the intern, who is an awesome guy. He helps us a lot. He said
it's great.
He's like so him. Great. He had a question for you. What would you do if you were the GM for the Pacers?
He's a big Indy fan, apparently. Not apparently, he is.
Well, that's why we call him Indy. His real name's Max. So
I came up with that name.
Thank you. Bill?
Well, I would try to hire a coach that didn't melt down during the season. That would be my first move.
Okay.
They're in a weird spot because they have all of these different assets that I like, but it doesn't seem like the assets make sense together. So they have to, to me, the move is to trade Miles Turner because I don't like Sabonis and Turner together. So that would be what I concentrated on, trying to do that.
Max, consider that your payment for the month. All right.
Is that the finance for Max?
Yep. You have any other questions?
Is Aaron Rodgers getting traded?
I think in June, yeah.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Where? See, I don't think he's moving. I also don't like him. I cannot. Is there a more unlikable quarterback in the league?
Why is he unlikable?
Maybe Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say there's other dislikable quarterbacks.
Never mind. There's a couple. Okay.
No, he doesn't want to be in Wisconsin anymore, and he's trying to pretend it's the front office's, fault, and they didn't do right by him. They had an awesome team last year. Obviously, they're doing something right. He just wants to be on the West Coast. I think he goes to Denver. I think that's how this plays out.
I told Jesse last week, that's the only team I think he goes to where we actually see a big-time jump in his values, because I think he put up ungodly regular season numbers. He already does that, but I just think the only downside with going to Denver is, have fun getting through Mahomes. You might get through Josh Allen with Denver. You're not getting through. I just don't think anything is happening in the AFC outside of Kansas City for like the next 25 years.
Well, KC, they rebuilt their offensive line.
Yep.
Spent a lot of money on it.
It's the best thing to do.
But the hard part for them is, you usually have these four-year contender windows. And then if you missed a couple free agent draft picks, whatever, like what we saw with the Patriots a couple times.
Yeah,
then
Seattle.
You could still be 10, 11, 12 wins, but as an actual Super Bowl ceiling team, it gets tougher. I think they had to spend so much money to fix their line that it has to affect them in other parts of their team, I would guess.
At some point, Tyreek and Travis Kelce, at some point, you've got to move. I would think you have to move one or two of them. So.
Right, which is what makes their team. But yeah, I think Rodgers goes to Denver or what was the other one that was?
They talked about the Niners originally, which I didn't think there was any shot of that happening. And now with the draft, it's not.
Niners, it won't happen. Yeah. Denver makes sense.
Can I ask you one more? Do you have time for another question?
I got one more.
All right. Is Kendrick Perkins affiliated with the Ringer? Because this is a, if he is, I don't want to ask this question.
He's not affiliated with the Ringer, but he is a 2008 world champion. And I know you're a Knicks fan now, but I still think should matter.
Overrated. What a worthless. The opinion. He was like the trendsetter with his defensive prowess and his physicality. Guy couldn't make a layup. Anyways, that's fine. He was on Twitter. Blasphemy. Literally, I can't stand him. Oh, I can't. And he's even worse as an analyst.
Oh, my God.
When healthy, Anthony Davis is the best big man in the league, better than Embiid and Joker. I know Anthony Davis is good.
I just don't agree with that.
It's ridiculous. Joker is the most underappreciated star of all time. He even said he's comparable in passing to Joker, which is laughable.
That's just not valid.
That sounds like a take we would have on this show.
Jokic is having a bird-like offensive season.
Do you want me to get the jersey? Are we good?
He's doing some bird stuff, and Embiid's ceiling as a dominant center is just higher than Davis on both ends. So
I still think the Lakers are playing the Nets in the championship, but
all right, okay. This is fun. Guys, fun in Wisconsin. Jesse.
I'm not going to have fun now. I'm scared.
If you have to pee, do it in the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
Once it gets like 5 hours in, you don't want to go in there. I would just pee on yourself.
I got
just
a Gatorade bottle.
Maybe bring an adult diaper and just pee into the adult diaper over going into the bathroom there.
So the normal. Got it. Okay.
So we're going to see you in July at the Nationals. That's the plan. That's the next time we're planning on
seeing
you.
Seems like you might see me.
Oh, all right. Boy. Ben, push dad to it.
Thank you for the time, sir.
Good seeing you guys.
All right, thanks, have a Bill. Go. All right, Bill's done. Now we can close unawkwardly. That was your show. sports cards nonsense. I don't know. Why do I have to repeat the show? You're better now, aren't you?
I can take the tie off.
He works you into the conversation.
He's great. Bill is the nicest guy. I've always said that.
The ideal guest.
But he knows too much. He knows too much. And when compared with you two talking,
I am nowhere near his level of knowledge. Some of those basketball names he's throwing out, he'd be like, yeah, you know Bobby.
Oh, I saw you shaking here. Like, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, Bobby.
He was good.
Yeah, Larry? Larry Webb or Bobby Webb? I was like, some of these things I have no clue about.
Yep.
Anyways, that's your show. Make sure you listen, subscribe, click you like it.
Yes.
Hug somebody on the street and tell them to listen to the show. I got stopped by a neighbor for the first time. I had the shirt on, says sports cards nonsense. Guy was like, you into sports cards? I was like, yeah. And I thought he meant because of the show. He's like, oh yeah, I watch that guy on YouTube sometimes. I was like, okay. I just looked at him. I was like, walk away, pal.
See, that's why we need our video back.
Yelling at he's actually a super nice guy. I forget his name.
Stop being mean to him.
Started with a J. No, he was very nice. Sports card collector. I like hearing this though. People in the city are starting to pick it up. I'm telling you, the trend is happening.
For everybody who was wondering how I was accessing all those card values so quickly. Card Ladder. Go to the website, sportscardsnonsense.com. There's a link, 15% off. It's the only place on the internet where you can get any kind of discount. It is much better than Market Movers. That's all I have to say.
Hannah just texted me. We have to go. So there you go. That is your show. It'll release this afternoon. We'll be back on Thursday, and then we'll fly out for the show Thursday night up to Wisconsin. Listen, subscribe, click, do all that nonsense. The Ringer Podcast Network, brought to you by Spotify. You can listen to anywhere you get your stuff. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, sportscardsnonsense.com. You can find us all over the place. I got to run. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Have a good day. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.